Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are a locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock, got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
We got fun stuff lined up for you this hour. We're going to kick it off with our good friend, the 75th annual Alice in Dairyland, Miss Taylor Schaefer. Good morning, Taylor.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing great. I mean, I've been on the road the last couple of days. I'm approaching 30,000 miles. A little cold today, but the forecast tomorrow looks a little bit warmer. So that's something to look forward to.
That is good to hear. So where are you calling us from today, Taylor?
I am currently up in Wausau, but I'm going to be making some trips around the state this week. So I'll be heading up to Rylander later today and then over to La Crosse and finally ending my week up in Eau Claire. So I will actually be traveling out of the state next week, too. So I've kind of been all over the place.
Wow. That is cool. Very cool. Good on you. We appreciate everything you're doing to help promote the state and help promote our ag industry and our dairy industry. And one of the ways we're going to do that today is talking about Wisconsin cheese meeting March Madness. I am a huge March Madness guy, a big college basketball fan. Taylor, I'm excited about this. Tell us about looking at cheese? Yes. Melissa loves looking at cheese. So. It works out. It works out. We're all happy.
Yes. Absolutely. Well, March is obviously like the sports season that we always think of, but one of my two greatest loves in the world are, of course, sports and cheese. So I really wanted to find a way to combine those two things together, and that is when the Wisconsin Artisan Bracket was formed. So this bracket just highlights a few of the different cheeses that we make here in Wisconsin. Of course, we know that we have over 1,200 licensed cheesemakers that craft more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheese. Now, 600, that would be obviously a very big bracket. So I tried to pick just this from all the different variety groups that we have here in Wisconsin. Right now, we are in our Elite Eight. The first cheese that it will be advancing to the Final Four are cheese spreads. But this week in that Elite Eight part of the bracket, we're talking about mozzarella and Havarti.
Ooh. I like this. This is fun. How is this bracket somewhere where we can see it? Is there?
It is. Yeah. So all of the bracket information is on my social media pages. All you have to do is search for Alice in Dairyland, and the voting will actually take place on Instagram. So I'll be posting the stories for all of the different polls on my Instagram story. But if you want to vote another way, say you don't have an Instagram page, then you can just certainly make a comment on any of my social media channels if you're interested.
Perfect. Oh, that's awesome. That's a great idea, too. I really like the idea. That's fun. You're going to have to tell me who wins. I gotta know how that turns out.
I will. I'll let you know. But there's definitely some really high, heavy hitters that if you want to go that way. There's a couple of that people are really excited about, like mozzarella was one of them, and cheese curds are on the bracket too, so we'll see who advances to the championship. But I will have the Final Four on March 30th, and then the championship round will be on March 31st, so we will know just before we hit April.
So who is facing off today? What should we know about the two opponents today?
We have Havarti and mozzarella. So Havarti is one of those ones where it's kind of tricky because it tastes best when it is really cold, but it is best served creamy. So it's one of those cheeses where if you serve it at room temperature, it is fantastic with anything that's sweet. So if you have any jams or fruits laying around at home, it pairs very well with that. Otherwise, you can melt it on just about anything, too. So if you want to melt it onto a sandwich or even put it in some pasta, I love to make mac and cheese with Havarti. That's one of those cheeses that it's really just versatile in whatever way that you want to use it. Mm. But mozzarella will be facing off with that Havarti this week. And mozzarella does have a really unique story. Have you ever heard about how mozzarella came to the United States?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please tell everybody. Yes, please.
So after World War II, American soldiers returned home from Italy, and they really had this taste for a new food that they tried over there that they had never seen before, and that was, of course, pizza. So pizza is very, really popular here in the United States now. But what do you need to make pizza? You need mozzarella cheese, right? Mm-hmm. So they came back to the States, and they really developed the mozzarella cheese from there. So now it is America's most popular cheese, and Wisconsin, of course, makes more of it than anywhere else. In fact, we make about 1 billion pounds of mozzarella every single year. So this is another one that's super versatile. It melts very well, and it really just goes well with anything that you want to pair it with.
I was a really big fan of Havarti in college. I followed it for a long time. A lot of people didn't think it was going to move on to the next level, and it was able to, and it's a great, great one. But mozzarella is my guy. I mean, mozzarella, I'm Italian, Taylor. It's my guy. I love mozzarella. The only reason I know that...
Mozzarella is the favorite?
It is. I think it's the favorite of this one. I'm a big fan of both teams. Again, Havarti came a long way. I didn't think it was going to get to this round, but, I mean, here we are. But mozzarella is king. I mean, mozzarella is going to win this thing, I got to think. I'm a little biased.
So what's your favorite form of mozzarella? I will ask that. Do you like mozzarella whip? Do you like string cheese? Do you like fresh mozzarella? What's your favorite kind?
Fresh mozzarella. Oh, fresh mozzarella. Fresh. It brings me back to my childhood. It does. My Nana is a big cheese person. And the only reason I knew what you were telling about the story of mozzarella is from my Nana telling us this story all the time. It was one of those ones that she told us like four or five times, and every time it was new to her, but it was
have
older.
Have you heard the story?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great story, though. Thank you. That's really cool to bring that up. And this is going to be fun. That is going to be a fun competition. Again, where can people go to vote on this, Taylor?
You can do all of your voting for your favorite cheeses on my social media channels. So all you have to do is search for Allison Dairyland. I am active on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. But all of the formal voting will take place on my Instagram. If you don't have that account, feel free to just drop a comment on any of my posts that I've made this month so far and vote for your favorites. I'm really excited to see who our champion cheese will be.
Taylor, how can we tell if we are buying dairy products from Wisconsin? We love to buy, support our state. How can we do that?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you are shopping in-store or online, the easiest way to identify genuine Wisconsin dairy products is to look for the Proudly Wisconsin Dairy or Proudly Wisconsin Cheese badge. So this is generally right on the front of your packaging, but another way that I really like to identify those Wisconsin dairy products is to look for the number 55 on packaging. So every state is assigned a number 01 to 56. Wisconsin is number 55. That's just where we fall in the alphabet. So when you look at your dairy product, whether it's a gallon of milk or even a container of yogurt, it should be just near that best by date, just below it. So you're looking for the first two numbers to be 55, and that identifies that it was made in Wisconsin. So certainly buying these dairy products is a great way to contribute to your local economy while also supporting Wisconsin's farmers and small businesses, especially now when we're purchasing a lot of dairy products and a lot of cheese for our favorite sports celebration.
It's a great way to celebrate March Madness as well, combining cheese with March Madness. I love it. It's a fantastic idea, Taylor.
And now we can all be detectives because we know what some of those stamped numbers mean.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a fun part of it, too.
There's actually a really cool way that you can see exactly where your milk comes from, too. So if you just Google, where is my milk from, there's actually a website. If you want to type in that whole list of numbers, it'll tell you exactly where it came from. So the first two is the state, and then the following numbers actually identify the plant that the milk is bottled in. So you can kind of track it down basically to the square mile of where it came from with that website. So that is another really cool thing that you can do.
How cool.
I'm bookmarking this right now. I have to do this. Oh, I love that. That is such a cool idea. That's a great idea. I love it, Taylor. Thank you so much for bringing that to us. And I did want to let people know as well to check out your webpage. It is AllisonDairyland.com, AllisonDairyland.com. You can learn more about Taylor and all the great things that she's up to. And you can follow her on social media. You can see all of the platforms, get to them right from there. Taylor, the next time you join us, I want to know what this chocolate milk toast is. I want to get into that with you.
Yeah, of course. So that's another thing that I'm talking about with March, right? Because we're thinking college basketball with March Madness. But March is also the month of WIAA state games. So there's a lot of different state celebrations that are happening all over Wisconsin right now. And chocolate milk is actually the official beverage of the WIAA. So chocolate milk is a great recovery beverage for these athletes. It still provides the same nutrients, really, that any white milk does as well. So those 13 essential nutrients, it has about 8 grams of protein in every 8-ounce serving. It's certainly a great thing to have when you're working out, after a workout, or even just to have with a meal, too.
Plus, it just tastes good.
Yeah, it's the great my go-to drink. If I could only have one thing to drink the rest of my life, chocolate milk. That
occasionally,
would be it.
I have to take the gallon away from it.
Yes, yes, every once in a while. Yeah,
don't drink straight from the container, James.
When you're at Quick Trip, then are you a green cap or a brown cap chocolate milk?
Oh, good question. I think brown cap. I think. Wait a minute. No, green cap. I think. It's been a while since I bought one from Quick Trip, okay. So I can't think of it. But yeah.
What's the difference?
I just buy both. Yeah. What is the difference? I can't think of it now.
So the green cap is the lower fat. I think it's about 1 or 2%. Yes. And then the brown cap is whole milk.
Oh. Yeah.
Brown cap. Brown cap. Definitely brown cap. Definitely. But they're both
I'm
good.
Yeah, brown cap kind of person.
Yeah, right on. Taylor, one more time. If people want to get in contact with you or find out more about some of the things we've talked about, how can they do that?
If you would like to follow along on my journey as the 75th Alice in Dairyland, you can certainly find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. All you have to do is search for Alice in Dairyland, or you can visit our website at aliceindairyland.com.
Appreciate you, Taylor. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk again real soon. You be safe travels out there and have a good time.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye, Alice.
Alice in Dairyland's own Taylor Schaefer joining us there. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She does a great job. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We got some entertainment for you. Getting into That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day, all coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James with you. Big thank you to Taylor for joining us. Fun to talk with our Alice in Dairyland.
That was fun. Sorry I called you Alice, but it's just too easy.
It is too easy to do. I can't imagine how many times that kid gets called Alice. I can't imagine. So I want to get into a little bit of entertainment news. I want to wrap up our Oscar talk. There was just a little bit of things that came up over it. So Oscar winner Mira Sorvino was really unhappy. The fact that in the In Memoriam, they left out Paul Sorvino, her father. I was really taken back by that, too. She said, quote, baffled beyond belief. Now, it takes about 3 seconds for those In Memoriam things to go.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes if a person... So they do these, and once it's done, it's done. Like, they're not going to add names to it. They rehearse this with the person. Like, this year it was John Travolta doing it. Mm-hmm. They rehearse it, and they're not going to add names to it. I don't care who it is. They're not going to add them to that list. But both the two big names that people were talking about, Paul Sorvino and Anne Heche, both they passed away quite a while ago. And I would add to that the cinematographer on the set of that Rust movie who died.
Oh, yes.
They did not include her either, which I thought was a real smack in the face. It shouldn't be about how much work you've done. Are you a part of this industry? Then you're a brother or sister of ours, and we've lost you, and we are going to mourn you. Mm-hmm. That's what the In Memoriam should be. How you don't have a Paul Sorvino in there, who is one of the greater, like known faces, known actors. I'm not meaning of all time. I mean of his era. And he was well known, not only from Goodfellas, had a great spot in Romeo and Juliet, that movie. He was well liked on Law and Order.
Yeah.
Just a well enough known actor. Also, great singer. Great singer. Sneaky good singer. And Anne Heche was certainly one of the faces and the actors of the 80s, 90s and that. I don't think it hurts for 3 seconds to remember these people.
No.
So it is... While I get the rehearsal process, you're an actor. If you can't improv, what are you doing? Like, if you can't handle, like, hey, I know we were rehearsing it this way for 3 weeks, but now we've got 2 new added names to it. Can you handle that? Like, if you can't handle that, then you shouldn't be in this industry. Like, what are you doing? Like... Let's see. I actually agree for once with the outrage. Like, I don't usually agree with a lot of that stuff. This one, and I'm not getting on a mountain. Like, I'm not going
to.
No, this
but she has a valid thing to complain about.
The one of the things, one of the reasons a lot of people felt Jamie Lee Curtis won her Oscar was because of her parents never winning an Oscar, Tony Curtis and that. And the first thing she did was thank her parents. Hmm. You think Mira Sorvino, when she won the Oscar, the first thing I think of is not her performance, is the fact that her father was in the rows, and he was more upset than she was. He was crying so hard. I've never seen Paul Sorvino is known from like Goodfellas and playing a lot of these tougher guys.
Tough characters.
He was a baby in that moment, just losing it. Oh, it was
just
beautiful.
So proud of his daughter. Yeah,
it's one of my favorite moments in Oscar history. That alone should have put him in the In Memoriam. What was it? Oh yeah, Ashley Graham seemed unfazed by the Hugh Grant stuff. So Hugh Grant was interviewed by Ashley Graham before the Oscars, and a lot of people were giving him a hard time because he was a real, people felt like he was a real jerk with his responses. He was mad because he made a Vanity Fair reference, and she thought he was talking about the magazine when he was talking about the classic novel. And he took that as a slight or whatever, and so he got a little bent out of shape and all that. the questions also weren't the greatest. Like, he was a jerk. Like, no, by no means am I excusing Hugh Grant or anything like that. But the questions and the whole process is so lame. Who are you wearing? Blah, blah, blah. It's the same questions all the time. You got to expect that some actors are going to handle it that way.
Yeah.
But I think they're making a lot of, there's a whole lot of that stuff coming out of that and everything.
Hmm. Is Hugh Grant rude or just British?
Yes, exactly. That's pretty much what it comes down to. Chris Rock may have not been at the Oscars, but he did watch the show, and not in private. He attended a viewing party at a bar in Miami where he was called called out by comedian Whitney Cummings. Apparently, it didn't go over very well. A lot of people thought that his stand-up special didn't really hit the mark.
I've heard some people actually this last weekend, and I was like, yeah, I chuckled a time or two.
I laughed at a couple things that I thought were funny. And I certainly thought he had a line in there that spoke to me like that. So he was talking about this Ja Morant situation, this young player for the Memphis Grizzlies who has been suspended because he was in a couple incidents, and then he had because he was pushing back on those incidents and had a party at 2 a.m. and had a little gun out and was waving it around and everything.
Okay.
And like he had a line about that. I don't know why it is that all these cats like Ja think that they bought the last gun. Like, that's the last gun. Like, they're the only one that have a gun or something. It's that smart funny that Chris Rock does very well. That's why I watch all of his specials. Mm-hmm. He made his name on this. Everybody had covered the OJ thing. When Chris Rock came out with his special back then and covered it in a different way, that was his perspective. And his perspective is part of why we come back to it. Mm-hmm. I felt like we were missing that. I felt like we were missing that perspective, that smart comedy of Chris's. And I also felt like his ending where he was ranting about Will and all that felt very childish to me. And I'm not, I don't want to make that sound like I'm judging him, because I don't know how I would handle that situation. And I think a lot of us don't know how we would handle that situation. And I think also, and I feel very cringy saying this, I feel like he was off his game a little bit. He had a year to do this, had a year to write this and everything. He's one of the smartest could ever do this. That's what he came up with. I mean,
do you think he really wanted to?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe his heart wasn't in it.
I think his heart is actually broken in some ways. Like, I think it's hurt in some ways. Not like broken, like when a lover breaks your heart or
no,
something like that. But when you lose a good friend,
yeah.
When somebody, and think about it, the whole country thinks that he's a punk. The whole country is looking at Chris Rock, and every man is judging him, and every man is saying how he should have handled this in a manly way to do it, and what I would have done and all that. He's been dealing with this for a year. I'm not saying, you know, pull out a violin for Chris Rock and have a, you know, GoFundMe for him or something. But I think you could do two things at once. You can have some empathy for the man and also think, well, it could have been a funnier special.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of components there. He was probably very pressured to do something, to say something about it, and it took a year to do it, and then it didn't come off as well as it was expected. But what was expected of it?
Yeah.
Well, really?
A thousand other comedians had already done jokes about it, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
So you had to try to do something different.
Yeah.
And probably didn't really want to.
I imagine that if I was him, I'd want to move on from this. I'd want to touch on it and then move on.
What would have been the better way to deal with it? To not mention it at all?
Yeah,
or,
I don't.
Or would he have had to mention it?
I think you're almost making it worse if you don't mention it. I think you can mention it and move on. Because the greatest revenge is moving on to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I touch on it a little bit and then I keep moving. I'm not going to give Will Smith any more notes. I'm not going to give him any more pub or any more chances to have his name in the headlines or anything like that. He wronged me. So I'm going to keep moving on. I may have a snide comment that I make here like once in my special, but then I'm moving on. So I acknowledged it and I'm also not giving it too much time.
So he shouldn't have ended with it.
I just don't feel like you should have. I also felt like that was awful lame. Like, everybody knew, I shouldn't say everybody, but a lot of people were watching that special to hear what he
just
would have to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole, hey, we're giving something away. Wait, listen during our 3-hour show for when we do it. And of course, we're going to do it in the last 2 minutes.
Right.
If you notice, our show is not like that.
Mm-hmm.
If I need to do that to get you to keep listening, I'm not doing my job.
Yeah.
My job is to get you to want to listen, not to make you listen.
Like, make you stick around.
And that's what he was doing. He was making you stick around. You should have wanted to be a part of that special, wanted to listen to it. Right. I feel like that's a miss. But, you know, at the same time, I haven't done a whole lot of comedy specials. So the Oscars attracted 18.7 million viewers. That's up 12% from last year.
Well, hey.
That was
pretty
impressive.
They got what they wanted then.
Yes, they did. Yes. And I was a little surprised that nobody slapped Jimmy Kimmel. Just because I thought that they wanted to keep this thing going and stuff. And next year they'd have... Actually, I thought Jimmy's response to that was interesting because he said anybody does that, he's going to punch him. He's going to lay him out or whatever. Unless it's Shaquille O'Neal. Unless it's somebody bigger than him. That was pretty funny.
So
it speaks to the that we didn't talk about this enough and didn't touch on this enough, the difference in size of Will Smith and Chris Rock and how different that is. And
Chris is quite a bit smaller.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to ask, because I don't watch the Oscars. I don't think I ever have. Maybe once, but it wasn't on purpose. Do they do anything, any performances of any kind during the Oscars? There's some music performances?
Yeah, usually the songs nominated for best song.
Okay. Somebody should have done like a comedy routine pratfall with a slap in it.
Yes.
Just because.
100%. Yes.
Incorporated into their song dance routine somehow. You've got all the backup dancers all suddenly taking a pratfall. I don't know. That would have been comedic, in my opinion.
Apparently, they had the Academy asked Jimmy Kimmel not to touch on the subject, to touch on it at all.
Of course.
And Jimmy Kimmel, of course, you can't tell Jimmy Kimmel to not do something and expect him. He's going to do it.
Stand-up comedian, don't mention this.
You should have told him, all we want you to do is talk about it. Mm-hmm. Then he would have never touched on it. I admire anytime an artist does those kind of things because they're doing it for the audience. Mm-hmm. It's not about them. It's not about the producers. It's what does the audience want? The audience, he understands the audience. This is a guy who doesn't live in a bubble and understands that, hey, this is what they want to hear. It's weird that a lot of people felt his comments on the slap were funnier and better than Chris Rock's.
Mm.
That's interesting.
Well, but he's also very separated from it, whereas Chris is, it happened to him.
It should also be noted, too, the Chris Rock special was a bit, I wouldn't say you can't watch it if you're not African-American, but there was a lot of, as my buddy Will, who is African-American, will tell you, there was a lot of comedy skewed towards that, things that they would get, that an African-American would laugh at maybe harder than we would or something.
Because it's part of their culture.
Yes, and I don't begrudge that either. I think that's actually kind of cool. I think that's really good of him.
Like tailoring to his audiences.
It's not bad. It's not bad. No. This is funny. This is interesting. So Tim McGraw may be more inked up than you think. Tim McGraw's got a lot more tattoos than you may realize. He has Faith Hill's name tattooed on his arm. He has a tattoo of his kids' initials on it. And he has a DHD tattoo, which stands for Dance Hall Doctors.
Dance Hall Doctors?
Yeah.
Is that like his first band name?
I'm not sure. he also has one bit of ink that's always in style on St. Patrick's Day. Quote, I have a leprechaun tattoo that I got years ago in New Orleans.
Oh.
My brothers both have one too because my dad liked leprechauns. He had a leprechaun necklace he wore, so that's why I got it. That's why my brothers have it as well. Mine has the black cowboy hat on him, though. So he has a leprechaun with a black, cowboy hat. Well done, Mr. McGraw.
Nice.
Well done, sir. Tim's dad, the late Tug McGraw, of course, loved St. Patrick's Day. During spring training on St. Patrick's Day, he'd wear a green uniform while on the mound pitching. Tim still has the green Phillies uniform that his dad wore.
Oh.
That got me. That's so cool. Oh, that's pretty cool. I wonder if it fits him. I wonder if he's ever tried it on. Oh, that's so cool. Well, my dad had some old jerseys and stuff, and I remember trying them on.
Yeah,
I had to. I swam in them because I was a kid at the time, but yeah. That is pretty cool. Well done, Mr. McGraw. That's awesome.
I had to look this up. Tim McGraw and the Dance Hall Doctors is the seventh studio album by American country music artist Tim McGraw and the first to feature his band, the Dance Hall Doctors.
Gotcha.
In 2002.
Right. That's a good name, by the way. I like that, Dance Hall Doctors. I like that. I like it.
It's the name of his band.
And to wrap up entertainment, Lady Gaga went makeup-free in a T-shirt and ripped jeans for the Oscars performance of Hold My Hand because she wanted to be raw. She originally turned down the show because she's filming the new Joker movie, but obviously she figured out how to fill it into her schedule. An Oscar producer says Gaga wanted to perform the show off with her real, quote, with a voice like that, you don't need much more than that. Mm-hmm. So they did not push her to, you know, get all dressed up and everything.
Good.
Another executive said, quote, she was really appropriate about the fact that this is a meaningful song to her and she wanted to really strip it down and just give an Oscar performance, just a natural, just about her voice.
Just be herself.
Come a long way from the meat dress.
Yes.
That's pretty cool to see the arc of her career, to see the arc for somebody like that. You don't see pop stars get the chance to do this very often, especially one that's so far up on the pop schedule and so far up there. And in some ways got there because of the meat dress and because of some of those things.
Yeah.
Where, okay, that gets my foot in the door, but it's my voice, it's my talent that's going to keep me in the public eye. Mm-hmm. That's going to keep me in A Star Is Born and my, you know, show that I can act as well. Like, I don't think a lot of us, including myself, had this on the Lady Gaga bingo, that she was going to be this kind of talent. I had no idea. I'm very happy to be wrong, but she's incredibly good at what she does. I think she's a way better than average actress and obviously incredible singer. But I really love her the way she carries herself, the way that she has handled her career.
Well, I think the important thing about what she did in this is representation. She is a normal person. Yes, incredibly talented and very beautiful, but as a society, we are so fixated on celebrities being beautiful, perfect, thin, you know, everything perfect about them. Where now she did this at the Oscars, which is obviously, you know, a huge moment in Hollywood, and showing that women are beautiful as themselves.
Yeah.
For their talents, for their voice, for how they look. They don't need makeup. She doesn't need makeup to be beautiful. No,
that producer had it right. You got a voice like that. Like, not that you have a bad voice. You don't, you know, you have to, you do need makeup. I don't mean it that way, but you definitely don't need to dress this up or anything like that. Just let the woman go out there and do her thing.
And if you like wearing makeup and you feel empowered because of that, sure, there's nothing wrong with that either. But you can have it both ways.
Yeah. A entertainment story and a good story of the day is our friends over at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties.
Oh, yeah.
Women's United Power of the Purse is
tonight.
5 to 7 over at beautiful Bullseye Golf Club. It's a fun event. Man, woman, it doesn't matter. Be a part of this event. You can also be a part of their online auction. Just go to uwswac.org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can purchase the purses online. That was hard to say for some reason.
I encourage you to do that. While not everybody may use a purse, everybody cares about kids being able to read.
Yes.
Everybody cares about literacy, and that's what this is all about. Yes, does maybe a woman out there or your significant other get a nice purse? Heck yeah. Yeah, these are great purses. These are really good purses. What this is all about is helping Women United raise funds, raise awareness for children literacy, and making sure that our kids are that much more prepared and that much more able to read going forward.
Mm-hmm.
It helps the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, a cause that I believe very strongly in. Encourage you to be a part of this night if you were able to. Join them, our good friends at the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, for Power of the Purse tonight from 5 to 7:30 over at Bullseye Golf Club. Get on over there, and you can find out more by going to uwswac.org. That's also where you can go if you want to vote on the purses online, do the online auction.
Yeah, there's an online auction. You can just click right on that and bid on purses right there on the website.
And cannot encourage you enough to attend this event. Please do. They got hors d'oeuvres, cash bar, networking, all kinds of fun things going on with this one.
And the online auction only lasts until 7 p.m. tonight.
You want to get on there soon. Again, uwswac.org. Take a break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun. Coming up, some Danny Wright stories and good stories of the day on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Melissa and James here with you. 9:40 on the clock. Tears for Fears to get us going here. We hope you're having a great, great Tuesday out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got some That Ain't Right stories for you lined up today. We have a feature one and one that we'll laugh at and everything, but I got a That Ain't Right story here that I don't think is funny. Jewish Community Relations Council of Milwaukee annual audit found a 6% rise in incidents between 2021 and 2022. That is a 494% rise since 2015 of anti-Semitism in Wisconsin. I repeat, there is a 494% rise since 2015 of anti-Semitism in Wisconsin.
That's ridiculous.
Anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin have soared for the seventh consecutive year, according to the annual audit report. The report from the Jewish Community Relations Council, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, showed hate group activity such as the distribution of leaflets that promote conspiracy theories rose by 83% between 2021 and 2022. In all, there were 101 reported anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin last year, a 6.3% increase from 2021. Some of those reports are from me and things that I have dealt with in the last year here on the air. Always in email form. Always, with a fake email or something like that. You notice that the some of the main components of this are pamphlets being dropped off.
Yes, this just happened in Wausau recently.
No names, just pamphlets.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, the people that are promoting this stuff in this fake news, in these fake comments, and these fake facts, and all this stuff and everything, are faceless. Mm-hmm. Whereas we and my people and my tribe are right here, not hiding, and never have. Mm-hmm. We're right here out in the open for you. What does that tell you? That just look at that alone. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
There is a comment that was given the last time we had to talk about this from a UV Larman. He is the president of Badger Alliance for Israel at the UW-Madison. The Jewish community here is huge. It's extremely strong. And we're absolutely not going anywhere.
No.
You will never, ever get rid of us. Ever. You'll never get rid of us. And when I say us, I'm not talking about the Jewish people. I'm talking about people that are good, people that believe in other people that believe in equality, people that believe in a better world, in a world that is where we can focus on diseases and other real problems instead of this ridiculousness of somebody praying to something different or somebody having different colored skin or different hair or something like that. Think of how ridiculous that is on its surface. Mm-hmm. That is one of the most pointless things you can do with your brain. You are given something that is God-given, that is a miracle. Us, human beings, mm-hmm. think about what we are. We are walking, living, special miracles. This shouldn't work, our the body, the human brain, all these things. Society, on paper, it's pretty hard to think that this would work. And here we are, thousands and thousands of years later, as a civilization, we're standing upright, we've made it to the moon, we've been down sea, and we're still fighting over this ridiculousness.
Yeah. We have made some progress. We have a lot more to go.
The progress we have made can only be appreciated if we are making more progress.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to just stand pat on this.
No, we're not there yet.
Yeah, we've got room to grow, and these numbers are showing that we're actually going backwards.
Backwards.
We're
mm-hmm.
going in the wrong direction here.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been dealing with this literally my whole life. It's hard for me to get too angry anymore. What it was worrying me more and more is how numb I'm getting to this and how used to I'm getting to this. And what I would like to do is speak to the people leaving those pamphlets, speak to the people that are sending me these emails, talk to me. Yeah. Show yourself.
Have a conversation.
What are you hiding from? If you believe in what you're doing, own it.
Mm-hmm.
Be it. Your point, even if it didn't, if you had a point, is lost in your anonymousness.
That's exactly correct. Because a lot of these, it boggles my mind, James. I really don't understand it because I don't understand hating somebody because of XYZ. I hate you because you have black hair.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that does not make sense to me. And that mentality. So more, I want to understand where that's coming from. Why? Is it rooted in a fear of some sort? then educate yourself. Have a conversation with a person with black hair and find out what it's like to be them. You know, I have a cousin who has curly hair, and I've always been jealous of her because her hair is beautiful. It's curly. Mine is straight. I want to have curly hair. But guess what? It's problematic. Having curly hair is not all that much fun.
It's not fun. It's not fun.
And it comes with its own set of issues and problems. The same can be said about every difference between us as humans.
You figured that out by asking questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You talk to them. You have a conversation about it. That's what is it like being Jewish? Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be Jewish?
Oi, let me tell you. It's a long story. Let me tell you what it is. Well, first of all, is it too hot in here? It seems a little too hot in here. Most of this stems from fear. Mm-hmm. Fear stems from unknowing. If you get some knowledge, if you understand a little bit more, maybe then you'll get it. Maybe you'll understand that, no, Jews don't run entertainment. No, Jews don't own the news industry and don't run the news industry. These things stem from... So the reason that a lot of people say the Jews run Hollywood, this kind of stuff. After World War II, not long after that, Hollywood was born. And Jewish people came to this country realizing, hey, how do we make ourselves valuable? How do we make it so they don't want to get rid of us? They don't want to kill us off. Well, we'll join this. We'll do this. Well, hey, a lot of people aren't believing in this Hollywood thing. We do. We think this is good. We think real estate is pretty smart. This is a pretty good idea. So we're going to get on the ground floor of this. And they did. Mm-hmm. And they were benefited from it. So guess what? There's a lot of Jews in Hollywood. Shocker! Shocker! Because it worked out for us. And because, yeah. After the World War II, after the Holocaust, after some other things, yeah, we've kind of made it a pretty good note of, hey, we're going to make it so that the world doesn't want to get rid of us again.
Let's find a way to be well-liked.
Since the existence of Jewish people, this has been going on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're going to make sure that we're in on a little bit here. And we're not, there's no one thing or one entity that can run any one thing. Imagine how difficult that would be. Imagine how, like, the impossible thing that would be. Now, I have owned the fact that we do have Jewish space lasers. We do have those. But I can't speak for my other fellow Jews, but I use mine respectably. I use it to distract cats. Mm-hmm. That's what I use my Jewish space laser for. Okay. That's how ridiculous this stuff is. Is it, you know, that you ask me a question, do you guys have Jewish space lasers? No, we do not. end of discussion. There, you know that now.
Well, I just wonder if people who were spreading these pamphlets, you talk about Jewish people in Hollywood, Adam Sandler, Billy Crystal, Groucho Marx, do they know that these funny people that they like and enjoy watching on TV are also Jewish?
Yeah.
Like, would that change their opinion? I don't know.
When I was 16, I was a part of these unity groups that would go and do speeches. Most of it was about trying to stop violence in the inner city and those kind of things. We also did some human rights work. During one of these speeches, we had a grand wizard of the local KKK down there and some friends of his show up. And they were going to shame us and they were going to get us out of there because we were just a bunch of kids and there was one adult there. I stood up to this person and talked to them. Now, I'm not saying that because I was brave or bold or anything. As you would ask my mother, I am a rebel without a pause. I don't know how to stop. So even if I shouldn't have, and the smarter thing would have been not to, I wasn't going to stop. And we're talking, and he's got this Bible in his hand. He's practically pushing it in my face and how I am dirty and I'm wrong and all these things. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, I'm like, isn't the guy in that book Jewish? Like, isn't the guy that you're looking up to, that you're talking about, that you're putting your life out of everything, isn't he Jewish? Because if I remember my Nana telling me correctly, it says in that very book you have that Jesus had hair of sheep's wool and skin of bronze. I believe he looks a little more like me than you, sir. That's all I said to him.
Yeah.
That guy was furious.
I bet he was.
I don't know if I've seen a human being that kind of angry before. And that tells you how right I was. That tells you how correct I was. And that gentleman had very little to say afterwards.
Yeah.
That ended with them leaving. With their tail between their legs, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
This is how you handle these things. You have a conversation. You hopefully take care. You get the actual information out there. Mm-hmm. And let come what come. Because there's going to be some people that are just going to hate to hate. There's going to be that in society. But I genuinely think that there are more people out there that are just confused or don't understand or they don't have the information.
Yeah.
But once you talk to some people, you'll understand, guess what? We're just like the rest of you, except we don't eat as much pork. That's about it. And we have a lot more holidays. And that's not as great as it sounds, trust me. We'll take a break here, unless you had some. I'm sorry. Okay. We'll take a break right here. I do have a funny that ain't right story coming up, everybody. And we got some good stories of the day all lined up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show with Melissa and James. Got a that ain't right story here for you, everybody. If you went to a cafe called We Spy Coffee and More, you'd probably assume the and more is other drinks they offer, not another thing that they're spying on.
Oh.
On Saturday, a man was in the restroom at We Spy Coffee and More in Florida, and he noticed a camera recording him from under the sink. He confronted the employees and called the police.
What?
The police came and arrested a 31-year-old man who was identified as an employee and business partner of the cafe. Yes, his name is Spy, and he was the bathroom spy at We Spy Coffee and More.
Why?
This sounds like an Onion article, but it's not. It's so true.
This
it's so real.
Real.
Yeah, this is real, unfortunately. He admitted that he placed the camera there and recorded the victims, other males in the room. So this is an interesting, it's usually in a women's bathroom. Mm-hmm. This is in a male's bathroom he was doing it.
Okay.
He's been doing it for about a month. The cops have got him. He's being charged with battery and video voyeurism and for being redundant. His name is Spy. He was spying on people at a place he calls We Spy Coffee and More. Like, I got to tell you right out the gate, I wouldn't have had coffee at that place anyway. There's something about that title that does not sit well with me.
It's a little odd.
Yeah.
For a coffee place.
Yeah.
And just the what was he hoping to accomplish?
Nothing good. Nothing good, that's for sure.
But why advertise what you're doing in the name of your business? Does he think that that was a way to get away with it?
Yeah.
Because he's informing people?
Did he think that if it was so obvious, like, that people might not really put two and two together or something? I don't
right.
know. I do have good news for him. There is a good story in this story.
Oh, really?
He's going to get to go to prison. And there's no privacy in prison. So he's going to have everything he wanted there. There you go. Yeah. Hey, it worked out for you, buddy. You creep.
Yeah.
Creep.
It's icky.
It's all kinds of messed up. It's all kinds of messed up. But that is a that ain't right story. A feature that ain't right story right there. We need a palate cleanser. Let's get to some
Please.
Good stories of the day. A 69-year-old in Colorado named Shirley Bennett is happy she got called for jury duty last month because it saved her life.
Ooh.
She was at the courthouse when she had a stroke and collapsed with no pulse.
Oh, my.
But deputies were quickly able to do CPR, and she went back last week to thank them in person.
Aww.
I'm not sure if she had to continue with the jury duty or not.
Probably not.
I'm actually kind of curious, but probably not. Probably.
Yeah, we're going to excuse you from this one. Although, I don't know if that state is the same as Wisconsin. Then you're called up for a month's period of time,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
30 days or whatever.
I'm actually a little surprised I've never been called for jury duty. I don't know.
Oh, well, when it happened to me, then I got like three trials in a row. I only ended up sitting on two juries, but it was a very eye-opening experience, and I would encourage anybody who gets called up to do it to serve.
Oh, I would.
You learn
I would definitely do it.
So much. I mean, obviously, there are some cases that you would need to recuse yourself from, or if you've got some kind of bias or issue, but... It's a really eye-opening experience.
I would think that would be the case for you now. Like, being the head of our news department, being, those things. I wonder, I don't know, like, every case it would be that way, but I wonder if you would have to excuse yourself because of some things, given some certain cases. I don't know. I don't know.
It's
may
more
not
about,
even be
like,
something you have to worry about.
It's more about, like, personal experiences.
Yeah.
But I do think your job can play into it as well.
A dad in Australia jumped in front of a snake to save his 2-year-old daughter. It bit his foot, but he got to the hospital and he's okay. He thinks it was an eastern brown snake, Australia's deadliest type.
Yeah.
They're venomous enough to kill small kids and sometimes adults.
Oh, wow.
It's a superhero.
Oh, absolutely saved her.
And it's exactly what a dad should do. It's exactly, I'm sure he doesn't think he did anything special. He did what a father's supposed to do. But he did something special, all right.
Wow. That's incredible.
And a 44-year-old guy in England named Chris Place signed up for the app Nextdoor last year to look for yard sale type stuff, and he ended up chatting with a 42-year-old woman named Michelle Tooby. It turned out they lived next door to each other and had lived within a 10-minute walk their whole lives, but they'd never met. So they got talking, started dating, and now they're in love.
Aw, that's cute.
Yeah, you knew I was going to end on a romantic story. You knew I was going to do it.
Of course you were.
It's
you big
awesome.
Sap.
How cool is that?
That is cool.
That like I also, there's got to be a point in the relationship, especially now that they've been dating for a while and everything, where they look at each other and it's like, they think about all the past bad relationships and like, well, we were 10 minutes away from each other this whole time. We could have been dating each other. We wouldn't have had those. That's awesome. That's
it
a
is.
Cool story.
It's really cool.
One more time, we want to encourage you to also be a part of another good story of the day going on tonight. United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Women United Power of the Purse. It's going on tonight from 5 to 7:30 over at Bullseye Golf Club. They're going to have hors d'oeuvres. They got like a spaghetti bar kind
Ooh.
Of thing.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah. They'll have a cash bar, networking, purse silent auction, raffles. They have a all kinds of different sponsors for this, too. And a big shout-out to all those sponsors for making this happen. A big thank you to them. I appreciate every one of them being a part of this. Mm-hmm. This is an incredible one, and it's a fun one, and it's a great way to help out literacy.
Yes, help childhood literacy in early grades. And if you can't make it, you can still participate by going to their website, United Way. Put in United Way of Southwood, and it popped right up. You can go on to their online auction until 7 p.m. tonight and vote. Bid. There we go.
Yes.
You bid on an auction.
Yeah. UWSWAC.org. Encourage you to go there and follow the United Way on all their social media platforms. Have a good time tonight, everybody.
Yes.
And a big shout out to Allison Dairyland's own Taylor for joining us today.
Thanks,
that
Taylor.
Was so much fun. And to the best listeners in radio, thanks for joining us, everybody. Mel, have a great time at the event tomorrow.
I will.
And we'll see you on Thursday, I believe.
I believe so.
We'll talk then. You guys have a good one. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up on WFHR, locally grown radio.